Well, I certainly appreciate your prayers again this morning. And we've got Monarch is past us now and took a couple of weeks break from the chapel here. But like I mentioned earlier, it's good to see each one again here and thankful for God's faithfulness. In fact, that's what I want to do here briefly. I want to start off this morning with singing a verse. I'd send it to Brother Ron there. I want to sing a verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. We'll just sing the first verse. I don't think it's in the blue book either, but most of you all know this song. And my burden this morning is for us to be inspired by a greater realization of God's great faithfulness. So that's my prayer this morning for all of us. So if we could sing just verse 1 of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thank you. So I want to consider for a moment the phrase in that first verse. It says, there is no shadow of turning with thee. And just thinking of that phrase, of course, it's written kind of in an older English, okay? Even this word changes is more of an older English term as well. So it may sound a little strange, but the fact is that phrase is simply meaning God does not change, okay? And it's even there's not a shadow or a hint of him changing. There's no change in him. And to break it down just a little bit more, the shadow part is meaning there's not the slightest trace or indication of it, all right? So not even just a tiny sliver, not just a tiny bit of it. And the turning part is there's no changing or shifting or becoming different in any form or fashion. And obviously it's of thee, of God. So the song is basically saying that God's faithfulness, his love, his character, his nature, everything about him remains a constant. There's no change in it, okay? And it reminds us of a verse. I want to turn and read a verse here to open with. In James, the first chapter, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So that little phrase, the shadow of turning, is basically just painting a picture of something in nature where when something turns, the light changes and the shadows move, okay? So, in fact, I was noticing towards the beginning of service, it's not there now, but there were some shadows on this west wall next to this back window. And does anyone have an idea of where those shadows came from? The shadows are on that west wall there. Where'd those shadows come from? Anybody know? Yeah. You could see the silhouettes of people walking in the east door. And what was interesting is it wasn't directly from the sun. The sun is already up a ways. But it was a reflection off of some vehicles and either the windshield or some shiny chrome on the vehicles was shining a bright light through the clear doors, and so when people were walking in front of it, you could see their silhouettes on this wall, all right? But the point is, they're not there now, because it's changed. What changed? Did the chapel move? No, the chapel didn't move. And we say it's the sun that moved, when actually the earth is rotating around the sun, but regardless, something moved, all right? Something changed. The people, there's no longer people walking there. The light reflection is not there anymore. So again, the shadows, they change, all right? And it's evident, I mean, even when we were at Monarch, remember in the evening times, again, on the west side of the tabernacle, there was about a 45-minute window in the evening service that folks sitting towards the back and that side of the tabernacle, it's like you wanted to pull those doors down because it was hot. And the sun is, but it didn't last. It changed. All right. The sun went down and it cooled off and everything's fine. But again, it's just emphasizing how that things around us, they shift, they change. It's a constant thing that we deal with. In fact, I want to bring up another point. Has anyone noticed that the daylight time is changing as well? Has anyone noticed that? Do you realize when it started changing? Technically and scientifically, it was the summer equinox is around June the 22nd. All right, that's typically what they say, the longest daylight day of the year. But prior to that and right after that, the daylight hours start shortening by just a few seconds within just a few days there. And then by the next week or two, it starts changing a little further, maybe 30 seconds. Where now we're at the 1st of August, and the daylight is shrinking roughly 1 to 2 minutes a day. And it'll increase as we get a little later, closer to the fall time, and later in September. And again, this is in the northern hemisphere that we're dealing with this, and it changes depending on where you're at. But the point is, it's changing. It's constantly changing. The amount of daylight we have here in the area we live in, it's constantly changing. It never stands still. Some like the longer days. Some like the shorter days. We all have our preference. I kind of like the fall time myself. You know, it's a little shorter days, but yet still decent daylight and much more milder. But that's just a personal opinion. But the point is, all those things change. And it's like, well, if you don't like this day or this week or this season, we just wait for the next. It's going to change, all right, sooner or later. But to thinking about change in particular, in context to the song we just got through singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. To think about things that change in life, there's a lot of things. First of all, we'll just talk about circumstances change. As I mentioned earlier, we had Monarch the previous two Sundays, and now we're past Monarch, so it's changing. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but for the children that have to go to school, yes, school's right around the corner. But you know what? Those of us that work 40-hour weeks, sometimes 50, 60-hour, whatever, it's like we work all year round. So children enjoy the summer break. But the point is, it's a season of your life as well, because later, a few years later, you'll be in another season of life, circumstances where you'll be working a job, all right? So again, these are things that change. Also, circumstances, talking about the weather changes. We had a nice cold front that came in yesterday morning, stepped out the back door. It's like, wow, it feels like fall time already. Sad to say, it's not true. It's warming up again. But and there's other circumstances that change that we don't have control over, if you want to say it that way. The political powers that be. Yes, I'm thankful for the privilege to and the freedom to vote, where we can help decide some things. But you know, there's still, on a larger scale, when you think about other countries across the world, other nations, other continents, all these other, it's like, we can't control that. It's like it's... And they change all the time. Different, emperors or maybe they're presidents or dictators or, you know, you name it. They're constantly changing all the time, all right? So the powers that be like that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I alluded to talking about the seasons of life that change. I mentioned about children going to school when you're young and then you're older, you get a job. And there's other things. Even as we're older, even in our job or our career, those things change too. There's a few rare exceptions. I've known of some people that have worked at the same job for 40, 50, 60 years. That's impressive. Not too many are able to do that. But again, those things change. And then thinking again of the seasons of life that, you know, again, you start as a child, then you're a young adult, then at some point, maybe you get married, and then at some point, you have children, and then maybe grandchildren. So again, that's all seasons of life, and it doesn't stand still. I mean, I'm to the age now where I don't just talk in years. It's like I start talking in decades, which is really kind of weird. I mean, I'm here, though. I'm officially middle-aged. It's hard to fathom. But again, it's a season of life I'm in, okay? And then there's other things that change. You know, people change as well. People's opinions. You know, even my own opinions about things have changed. For instance, my opinions about certain foods. You know, when I was younger, I would see this thing that some people would make, and it looked just disgusting, but it was called spinach artichoke dip. And I remember the first time I really got the nerve up to try it. It was soon after we were married. Sheila had some, and we were at a wedding dinner afterwards, and at the dinner there, they were serving some, and I tasted some. I'm like, this is awesome. And I've loved it ever since. But again, my opinion changed. When I was younger, I'm like, no way. You're not going to get me to taste that at all. Other things change. People's beliefs about things. There's some things. I remember when I was younger, I was very staunch. I believed certain things about situations or about people or about whatever. And it's like, I'm locked in. And then later, after some more understanding and some enlightenment and some wisdom as time rolls on, it has a way of revealing things. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't really believe that person, what they said and what they did. I don't really believe it that way now, because now there's more, if I could say, proof or evidence that things are different, all right? So again, but those things change, and sometimes we go back and forth. And other things that changes with time is our bodies change, all right? I think that's a pretty obvious one. I'm not going to dwell too much on that because I know mine's changed a lot. But here's another one. And this is one that is interesting. And again, when I was younger, I didn't think too much about it. But the older I've gotten, the more I realize, you know, this is legit. And that is our emotions change. And I'm going to say it this way, that a lot of times us as men, we like to try to think, yeah, we're not emotional. We're just the same all the time. You know what? Time has a way of affecting that too. We start realizing that maybe the older we get, it's like, you know, I actually do have some emotions about such and such, or some ideas about this, or things really affect me a way I didn't realize. Okay. But for instance, say 7 days ago, say last Sunday, what were your and my emotions 7 days ago? We're at Monarch, but what was going on emotionally? And then let's just take, for instance, how about even yesterday? You know, we like, oh, well, I had some different feelings and thoughts came through my mind and affected me a certain way. But again, folks, all these things are changing. But the one thing that doesn't change is God. Thou changest not. He is a divine constant. And to think about, God doesn't become less faithful. You know, have you heard stories, and sad stories, of whether it's in marriages or with children or whatever the case is, where someone in a relationship, they become less faithful, less loyal. That's sad. Especially if it's a close relationship that is centered around God. But God doesn't become less faithful. He doesn't become less good, less present, less powerful. None of those things. God isn't affected by all the change around us. And there's another song that we sing about change and decay and all around I see. But it's all around us, okay? But God, He's all around us. He doesn't change, does He? In fact, the sun came up this morning, right? I mean, that's the term we use. And when was the last day the sun didn't come up? You understand my question? It's always come up. because God is behind that. That's something that God has instituted and has control over, supreme power and authority over that. He created it. He has dominion over it, and it continues to be the same. Yes, throughout the year, the shadows change, the amount of daylight changes, but God at the center of it, He doesn't change, okay? So thinking of each of us here this morning, I think it would be fair to say that all of us are going through some changes and adjustments as we speak. Perhaps some of us are going through a different season of life that we've never experienced before. If you consider that, which I'm sure is true, and sometimes everything around you may feel different. It's like, I've never been here before. I never experienced this before. I remember when COVID came back in 2020. That was a huge disruption. Lots of changes, lots of unknowns and uncertainties. But folks, with God's help, we weathered that storm, didn't we? You know, it's no different. That was a season, about a year and a half's worth. But you know, right now, I could dare say all of us are going through yet another season, all right? God knows what that is, and you know what that is. But the fact is, we can still say that God, you're still God, and you're still you. Thou changest not. God hasn't changed one iota. In fact, it reminds me of a scripture, a very familiar one. I want to turn and read this. In Lamentations, the third chapter. This was just a good reminder for all of us. Lamentations 3. We'll start with verse 21 through 23. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So what he's saying is, when I start reflecting upon these things, because this is the book of Lamentations, which he's lamenting. He's full of sadness. Jeremiah the prophet, there was so much change and decay within the nation Israel. Within different times, so many times they'd fallen back upon the Lord, and they would be sent into captivity, and some would come back, and the temple or the walls of Jerusalem be destroyed. They have to come back and rebuild it. So all this back and forth, the change and decay was happening all the time, and he's lamenting all of this. But he said, in the midst of all of that, he said, if I can recall to my mind and remember the one thing that is steadfast through all of this is this. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thank the Lord. That is something to anchor our souls to. And you know, there's another example of how God did not change. And it's back in the Old Testament, further back. And I want to read a verse. Well, I may not read it. I may just paraphrase it. But it's back in Joshua, the fifth chapter. And I want to set the groundwork for this before I get into it. So this was the end of the journey of the children of Israel. They had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. We all know the story. And then God had promised them the land of Canaan, all right, the land flowing with milk and honey. And it was quite a journey, those 40 years. And during those 40 years, they encountered a lot of changes, a lot of challenges, a lot of things they dealt with. But yet, through the whole journey, God proved himself faithful, all right? And so, an interesting point is, the day they stepped over into the land of Canaan, after they crossed the River Jordan, if you read in Joshua, the fifth chapter, verses 11 and 12, there's an interesting thing that took place. God provided a different means of food. Manna was ended on that day. And they began to eat of the produce of the land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. There was vegetables, there was fruit, there was all these things. And obviously there was the green grass and the rivers flowing. So there was cattle, and there was honey, because there was flowers that the bees could pollinate. And so it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was flowing. There was a bountiful supply of it. Total contrast to what they've been used to in the wilderness, where they couldn't grow crops and they couldn't grow up large herds of cattle or sheep or whatever to eat meat, even, because the land wouldn't sustain it. All right. So they were limited to manna every day for 40 years. But there came a day, they crossed the River Jordan, and they celebrated with the Passover feast, all right? As soon as they crossed over, they celebrated with the Passover feast, and they began to eat some of the produce of the land, and no longer, from that day forward, they never ate any more manna. That was it. It was done. Well, that was a change, wasn't it? But if you think of this, and this Passover feast that they had, the first thing that they were enjoying was, it was the end of the manna, as I mentioned. And so they were celebrating that. But it was also, they were celebrating the fulfillment of the promise that God had given them, that I'm going to lead you into the promised land. And that's exactly what God did, all right? So when we consider these two things that God had provided, again, for 40 years, and if you multiply that out, it's 14,600 days. That's a long time. It's 365 days a year. And this year's clicking on by, but think of 14,600 days. That's a good portion of my life. 40 years, all right? They had survived on manna each and every day, okay? But that ended. And so they made it over to the land of Canaan. But that one day that everything changed, the only thing that didn't change was God. You could say God was the common denominator that never changed through all of that. And to think that the generation that passed on during the 40 years in the wilderness, it was those that didn't believe, those of the fighting age, and they didn't believe, they didn't, of the 10 spies, you remember that story? Of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb believed, the other 10 didn't, and they persuaded the rest of the multitude, we can't go over. So that generation passed off. That was another change because it was different leadership. There were different warriors. There's different new faces, all right? So the next generation, they were the mature ones. They were the ones that were going to march around Jericho. The old soldiers had passed on. They had their time, so to speak. But it was a new time, a new phase, all right? Something wonderful to look forward to. And again, the common denominator is God was still the faithful one, okay? God was faithful in the wilderness, but you know what? God wanted to be faithful, and he was going to be faithful during the time of defeating the Canaanites, the ones that God presented here. And the first one was Jericho. We're not going to turn and read that story, but it was new soldiers. It was new faces. Joshua was the leader. Moses passed on the other side. Joshua was the one that led the children of Israel over into the land of Canaan and to defeat Jericho. All right? So it was a new era, if you can say that. But God was still God. He was just as powerful as, remember, when he crossed the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea. And when they came up to the Jericho, what happened to Jericho? Or came up to Jericho, came up to the Jordan River, what happened to the Jordan River? God parted that too, all right? So he's the same powerful God, okay? So again, many things in our lives will never be the same. But you know, that's not always a bad thing. If you understand what I'm saying, I'm not trying to take anything away from the things that we deal with, such as losing a close loved one. That hurts. It's grief. It's a process, and it takes time. But I want us to hang on to this truth that God is still God, and he is still the God of all comfort. The yes, things may be different in the future, and we don't know what the future holds, none of us. But we can hang on to, as the song says, God's unchanging hand. Because thou changest not. God's faithfulness is still going to be there for the new chapters in life that we encounter. To think that we never dreamed that we would be in a particular situation that we are now, but Lord, here I am. And I know you don't change. I know that we change and our circumstances and the things around us change, but Lord, you don't change. And so, thinking of the children of Israel crossing into the land of Canaan. I want to put as a side note here, the Lord is always leading us on to better things. If you understand what I'm saying, the land of Canaan was a better thing. It was a fulfillment. It was something where God wanted to manifest himself to them in a very personal way. And that first battle, the Battle of Jericho, was a perfect example of that. Because they didn't win that battle with their sheer strength and their sheer cunning, craftiness, and wisdom, and all planning and all of that. They simply obeyed what God told them to do. And they won in a very unconventional way. You know what? God can do the same with you and I. It may look like we are faced with some impossibilities sometimes. Some Jericho walls. Where they were fortified. They closed up the gates and the doors and the walls of that city. It was a fortified city. And it seemed like, and they just came out of the wilderness like, what are we going to do now? The God that was faithful to Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness was going to be the same faithful God to Joshua and those that obeyed the Lord on the other side of Jordan in the land of Canaan. It was the same God, the same power. And folks, what a miraculous, powerful victory they gained when the walls of Jericho fell. The key was they followed and they obeyed. They obeyed the faithfulness of God, the one that didn't change. They listened to his voice. They didn't listen to the voice of those that mumbled and complained and murmured in the wilderness. They perished. But those that believed, those that were looking forward to something better that God had for them, they lived and they conquered. God gave them the victory. Isn't that inspiring? That God has that for you and I today too. Though things around us change, and sometimes, quite frankly, I don't like change sometimes. I'm just saying it. But you know, God has a way of working with us personally and individually, where he wants us to focus on the one that doesn't change and not focus on the changes around us. Okay? So I want to share briefly a little story. I was just reminded of this recently. About Brother Bill Day. We miss the dear brother here in our congregation. He's touched a lot of lives. But you know, I remember it was 5 or 6 years ago when he was really sick, really low. We gone over there to pray for him, try to be an encouragement to him. But you know, the opposite happened. He encouraged us. And he's sitting there in his little recliner, and he reaches over and he's like, "You mind if I read you something, brother?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So he gets out his old weathered and worn Bible, and he opens it up, and he reads a scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. And I want to read you this scripture. This is one of his favorite scriptures. Deuteronomy 2 and 7, and it relates to the children of Israel, what we were talking about earlier. It says, "For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing." You know, that was Brother Bill's personal testimony, because he experienced the fact that the Lord never failed him. And all of those years that he endeavored to live for the Lord since he was a young adult, through times of heartache, disappointments, afflictions, grief, feeling alone, feeling inadequate at times in situations, yet the Lord was always faithful to meet his needs. That was his testimony. And he was suffering right then. But yet his testimony was, he's like, "Brother, God's never failed me." And he would start sharing some more stories, and God never changed. And that was a powerful testimony. That's something I'll take with me through life. And even in my own life, I'm not going to go into detail, but in recent years, there's been a lot of changes I've gone through as well. Things that we could say it this way that I don't want to repeat necessarily, but God's been faithful. And again, the common denominator in all of this is God's never changed. People change. Circumstances change. Different seasons of life change. All these things change, but God never does. So I want to leave you with these last few words, and I mentioned it some earlier. All I can do here this morning is to highly recommend that we all not lose our grip upon the one that has been faithful, and that is God. And that we focus on and we zero in on Him and not the changes around us. You understand what I'm saying? Because in life, quite honestly, we could be like the children of Israel over in the wilderness. And it's easy to be in a situation like they did different times, and they grumbled, they complained, they murmured. But yet those that were faithful to the Lord and focused on, and I think of Joshua and Caleb, they focused on the power of God. They focused on the one that never changed, all right? When they went over and spied the land at the very beginning, and they said, we are well able because we're focused on the God that just delivered us from the Egyptian army and through the Red Sea. We're well able to do this, to conquer, all right? In God's name. And guess what? They made it over to the land of Canaan. They made it to the promised land. Folks, we can too. We can make it to where we can have that same victory. We can have that same power with the Lord because we're focusing on Him that doesn't change. And we're not focusing on the changes around us because, quite honestly, sometimes we're the ones causing the changes. And sometimes that can be disheartening. Like, well, I wish I hadn't have done that, you know, because that affected that and that caused that. But Lord, remember what the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to lift our eyes and lift our sights and not focus on all the changes around us, but Lord, help us to focus on the one that never changes. He'll be faithful to us. You pray for me. Amen.